The Pledge of Allegiance will remain unchanged, at least for now. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court threw out a challenge to the phrase, under God, that was added to the pledge 50 years ago. The court's ruling sidestepped a big question, whether the phrase, under God, when used in public school recitations, violates the Constitution's ban on government establishment of religion. Here's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
More than 100 years ago, when the pledge was first created, it had no reference to religion or God. But in 1954, at the height of the Cold War, Congress added the words under God to distinguish the U.S. system from the atheism of the communist system. 4 years ago, Michael Newdow, a California father and self-described atheist, went to court to stop the public school policy of having teachers lead willing students in the recitation of the pledge every day. He said the pledge amounted to religious indoctrination of his daughter, teaching her beliefs contrary to his, and he asserted that no elementary school child was really free to refuse to recite the pledge. He won in the lower court, setting off a major public furor. But yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court dodged a direct ruling in the case, concluding that Newdow has no legal standing to sue. Writing for five members of the court, Justice John Paul Stevens said that Newdow has no right to act as his daughter's representative in court, since the child's mother, from whom Newdow is estranged, has primary custody, and the mother supports the recitation of the pledge. Newdow was predictably disappointed.
We have an unconstitutional pledge that is still being foisted upon children in schools, and somebody will come back and challenge it again.
Although other parents are likely to eventually challenge the pledge as Newdow did, organized civil liberties groups have not brought such challenges. They fear that if they were to win, a divisive fight to amend the Constitution would undoubtedly follow, a fight they would likely lose. So civil liberties groups were privately relieved yesterday, as were conservatives who were privately worried that the court would see the recitation of the pledge in elementary school as involuntary for all practical purposes. Perhaps most fascinating in yesterday's ruling, however, were the three opinions written by the members of the court who thought the pledge case should have been decided and the pledge upheld. Chief Justice Rehnquist said the mere fact that Michael Newdow disagrees with this part of the pledge does not give him veto power over it. And Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, for the first time, sought to define what might constitute de minimis religious expression that is permitted by the Constitution. These are not minor constitutional trespasses to which I turn a blind eye, she wrote. Certain ceremonial references to God and religion in our nation are the inevitable consequence of the religious history that gave birth to our founding principles of liberty. Jay Sekulow is chief counsel for the conservative American Center for Law and Justice.
I think there is a role for ceremonial deism, and I think Justice O'Connor did an excellent job of explaining what it meant in the context of the history of the United States and the role of religion.
Justice Clarence Thomas, in his opinion, set out his view of the First Amendment ban on government establishment of religion, contending that it was never intended to apply to the states. Barry Lynn of Americans United for Separation of Church and State observes what the outcome might be if Thomas's view were to prevail.
You could establish Methodism in one state, Presbyterianism in another state, and that simply can't be right in our American political or judicial system.
Jay Sekulow doesn't normally agree with Lynn on church-state matters, but on this one, he does.
I just think it's an important statement for states not to be able to sponsor a particular religious denomination over another, or atheism over any other religion for that matter.
Justice Antonin Scalia recused himself from the pledge case because he'd made public statements indicating a prior judgment in the case. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.